Are you with your Bibles?
I tried looking for a site too, but I guess I found one later on yesterday. We're looking at focus and faithfulness in ministry. Focus and faithfulness in ministry. And I'm going to take it from where we stopped during GPLR. You know, during GPLR, we looked at focus in service, and we also looked at the ministry of Jesus and full-time ministry. So we are bringing those two together. Focus and faithfulness in ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I know my voice is a bit down, but I'm going to stretch it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. I'm only concerned if those in Kaduna can hear me. If they can hear me, I'm good. Okay. If you can hear me, I guess we are good to go. Okay. Again, in Ephesians 5, we'll take it up from verses 15. You know, we're here during GPLR. You are not praying, you are still sharing sweet. From verse 15, it says, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, they redeeming the times, because the days are evil." It says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You know, this becomes very vital. It says, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And during GPLR, we began looking at this, right? Hallelujah. For those of you who listened to that focus in service before prayer retreat, you discover that we actually delved into that teaching very well. So we said, a believer can be foolish. You can have foolish believers. You know, during meetings like this, where I have to admonitions, there are some words that will be used wrong. Amen? You can have foolish believers. If you look at Galatians, Paul will call the church at Galatians, he called them all foolish Galatians. Galatians 3, it says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." So you can have believers who act as fools. That is the word anotos, not to use your mind. Jesus, in Luke 24, met two of his disciples on their way to Emmaus, Cleopas and the wife. And he asked them, "What things are you talking about?" And they said, "Have you not heard?" They were telling Jesus, "Jesus, this gist." They were giving Jesus his gist. They said, "Are you a Jew?" You know when they call you, "Are you a Jew, man? Don't you know the thing that is happening in Jerusalem?" They said, "Concerning the man Jesus, who was mighty in works and deeds.
He said, well, they said, well, thought it was he who was going to redeem Israel. But the elders, the chief priests, captured and killed him. And today is the third day. And 13 of the women that was amongst us did marvelous when they said they did not find his body in the tomb. Did you see that? He said, and some from our company went and found it as it was, so that it was so. And Jesus said to them, oh fools. Oh fools. Maybe we can have foolish believers. We can have foolish believers. And yet, Paul is saying in Ephesians 5, what we read, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So that means when a believer doesn't redeem the time, when a believer doesn't, when you use the word redeem the time, there is when you have the Greek word to buy back time. You know, I know that we are told that when a time is gone, it can't be recovered, right? But as a believer, you can buy back time. That's how the Greek use it. You can buy it back. Hallelujah. Now, this is saying use it wisely. That's what he's saying. He said, when they don't discern, that is what to discern. So a believer can be foolish when he or she cannot discern the times. That will be foolishness. Hope you are with me. So it says somebody is a foolish believer when he or she doesn't discern the time. And we said it's only a foolish believer that says there is still time. Foolishness. We said there is still time. I will serve God when I get to 50. That is a foolish talk. Let me enjoy my life. When I give birth to 2, I will serve the Lord. No. Amen? Foolishness. We'll serve God when I go on. Let me enjoy. Allow me to enjoy myself. No. Amen? I remember a word that day while I was very young. I'm still young, in fact, I'm not old. Hallelujah. When I was younger than the way I was, or that I'm younger than the way I am, years back, a minister would say, serve God while you are young. I didn't understand the meaning of that. I don't think many people understand the meaning of that. He was saying it because he woke up to serving God late. He said, serve God when you are young. Hallelujah. You don't know what it means. Give God your youth. Give God your strength. Hallelujah. Give God your strength. Like I said, it's only a foolish believer that said there's still time. There's still time to do the will of God. Some people say that, consciously or unconsciously. When you're supposed to go for evangelism today, you postpone it. A procrastinating believer is a foolish Christian. Foolish! You are saying by your attitude that there is still time. Most times you don't need to say it with your mouth. Your attitude can say it. Let us pray. You say, I will pray tomorrow. Foolish. That's a foolish saying. Hallelujah. Foolish saying. Say, I can still pray later. No. Pray now. Hallelujah. Pray now. are hearing me, pray now. Don't move it later. Don't move it 1 minute after. When you are procrastinating the will of God, you're not acting wisely. You're not acting wisely. Hallelujah. You are not acting wisely. So in my book, I said, who is a believer? Something I'll begin to teach us on tomorrow. Who are you? Is a rhetoric. Who are you? Many times, I'll say a bit on that here. Many times, believers have identity crisis. Who is a believer? If you don't know who you are, you will behave like the world. You will carry their modus operandi, their mode of behavior. You will carry it. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is a believer? A quick one. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creep upon the earth. Hallelujah. So who is a believer? A believer is the man, or is a man in God's image. We saw that, right? Hallelujah. A believer is a man in God's image. I will say to be in the image of God is to be called son. Genesis 5, verse 1 into 2. Is to be called son. So a son is one who is in the image of another. It doesn't mean the person needs to have a wife. Son is used for functionality, for responsibility, not for actual birth, many times. So I said, it's a foolish question when you say Jesus is the Son of God to ask who is the wife of God. It's a very stupid question. It shows illiteracy. Obey me. Because the use of the word son shows responsibility, shows functionality. So that is why in Genesis chapter 22, God will say to Abraham, take Isaac your son, your only son. Did you see that? But it was Ishmael, but he called Isaac son. In Exodus chapter 4, God will call Israel son. Israel as a nation that has both male and female, he called them son. So son has nothing to do with the sex. It has nothing to do whether it's with man or boy. Hope you're following me. Son is the man in God's image, be it male or female. Genesis 1:27, God created them male and female created he them, and they are called man, male and female. So the concept of man is male and female. So when you get to Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 3 and you find, is that Genesis 3? Genesis 2, sorry. And you find Adam in a deep sleep, and he said, and you find that he went into a deep sleep and God took out a rib. Rib wasn't referring to rib. Adam doesn't even know what is called rib. Amen? When the Hebrew used the word rib, is used for the site of a temple. Then, so what Adam had was not an operation but a vision. Amen. Mm-hmm.
In Genesis 15, we have the same, we have Abraham going to a deep sleep also, and it is called vision. In Genesis 28, we had Jacob in a deep sleep, and what is it called? Vision. Hope you're hearing me. So Genesis 2 is a vision. And what did Adam see? He saw the side of the temple. That is the read. The side of the temple. Showing you that what you will find in the temple is male and female, and they will be called son. What are you following me? Man. Glory to God. So, when you say son, son is functionality, responsibility, purpose. So when you say, who is the believer? The believer is son. What are following me? We are called sons of God. No one hears sons of God, no, I'm a daughter of God. No. The sons of audacity, the daughters of audacity. This is not a rivalry. For enemy, it's not rivalry. It's not, remember, you might want to say, I'm a king. Come on, I say, no, I'm a queen. Come on. There's no queen. We are all kings. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Just give you time in 10 minutes. So. You time yourself. Okay. Okay, I'm here. Okay. I don't want them to miss anything I'm saying, so let's go ahead. You say he's a son, right? He has a purpose. So to be in Christ is to have purpose. Remember, Christ is the image of God, is to have purpose. In Genesis 4, verse 12. In Genesis 4:12, Genesis chapter 4 verse 12, it says, and thou shalt till the ground, and it shall not exalt ye unto thee of our strength, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. So it says, when you till the ground, remember, when you use the word to till the ground, is the word you find in Genesis 2:5 for man. The herbs before it grew, you say, for Lord has not made it to rain upon earth, and there was no man to till the ground. So that gives functionality to man to till the ground. That is the word abad. It doesn't mean man is a farmer. No. That is the word abad, a word used for a priest. So that means man has a function, and that is priesthood. The believer is a priest. The believer is a priest. He or she is a prophet. Who are you following me? You say what you find in chapter 2 verses 15 for man. He said, God put man whom he had formed in the garden to do what? To dress. That is the word to till. To dress abad and to keep it. Abad and shamar. So man has a responsibility. Son. You see that? When I am a son of God, it comes with a responsibility. It comes with responsibility. Hope you are following me. Responsibility. So when you get to chapter 4, he says, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not yield unto thee of our strength. It means because of what Cain has done, he would not be found in God's sacred assignment. What is the sacred assignment? Tilling the ground. Tilling the ground will be what? Abad, priesthood. Genesis 1:28. Okay, following me. Hallelujah. And he said, you shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. And I showed us, for here the word fugitive and vagabond doesn't mean he will be a wanderer. He'll be wandering all around. And his sense will go, no. Fugitive and vagabond there is the word in the Hebrew, noah and nod. Noah and nod, N-U-A-N-O-D. Is the word used for not to have a purpose. Because this same Cain in verse 17 built a city. If he was a wanderer, if he was a nomad, going everywhere, not having a sense, he wouldn't have a city. A city means he was wealthy. Okay. But yet, he won't be found in God's sacred assignment. Just like Esau. You see that? Esau was wealthy, but he wasn't found in God's sacred assignment. Okay, follow me. He won't be found in God's sacred work. That's what it means. Amen. Showing you that away from God is not to have a purpose. So man has a purpose. The believer has a purpose. And what is the believer's purpose? Hope you're following what I'm telling you. The believer has a purpose. Abad and Shama. Abad use is used for service. Is used for what? Service. To serve. To serve the Lord. To serve. A word you find also used by Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20 quickly. Verses 27. It says, and whoever will be chief among you, let him first be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Hope you say that. And to give his life a ransom for many. So that is the word serve. To minister. But to be ministered to. Hallelujah. So what is his purpose? What is this purpose about? This purpose, man's purpose, is God's purpose in the earth. Man's purpose is God's will in the earth. And God's purpose for the earth is Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Heaven and earth. Genesis 1:3. Let there be light in the earth. Let there be light. Meaning God saying, I am light. God offering himself as the solution. Hallelujah. That is God's purpose. And that is man's purpose. His purpose
is to live for God. Man's purpose is to live for God. Is to live his life to fulfill God's purpose. Outside God's purpose for the earth, there's no purpose. And God's purpose is man. God's plan is man. God's plan is man. God's plan is man saved. That is the word earth there. Earth is not referring to, or earth there is referring to heart of man. Man. Men. Earth. So Paul will say in 1 Timothy 2 verses 4. Who would have all men saved? God will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not just about having them saved, but coming to the knowledge of the truth. That is discipleship. Men saved and discipled. So knowing what God's will for the earth is and what God's purpose is, where I find my purpose, we then say consecration is around it. Your consecration is to the service of the Lord. It's to the worship of God. So you know God's plan is the whole earth. I will find Jesus, who is God, in man, carrying out God's task in the earth, will find him praying. Therefore, prayer is consecration. When we come to pray, it's consecration. Evangelism is consecration. Your devotion to God is your consecration. Is consecration to God. The local church and your participation in the local church is consecration to God. Brothers and sisters, we are God's servants. Inasmuch as we are his sons, we are his servants. No, I'm not a servant, I'm a son. Keep short. That's ignorance. Say, I'm not a servant, I've moved from a servant. I'm now a son. No! What is servant? The word servant is from the word serve. What is the role of the son? To serve. So in carrying out the gospel, you are a servant. That is service. I remember years back, a Muslim guy was arguing with a friend. He was arguing with a friend, and that friend happened to be a Roman Catholic, and he told the friend, they were arguing about Jesus, and he told the friend, Jesus is not the Son of God but the servant of God. And they say, no, Judas is not a servant, he's a son. He then showed the person from Acts where Jesus is a servant. He said, ah, so does that mean? And the Christian got confused. And I said, no. No. He's son. Because sonship is responsibility. And the responsibility there is that of a servant. Is that, so servant is not what you think as, well, you no longer call us servants, we are now sons. We've graduated from being servants to sons. A son is a servant. A servant is one who carries out his service. What are you hearing me? Are we serving the Lord? In serving the Lord, we are his servants. So sonship is servanthood. Hope you hear me. Hope you hear me. Sonship is servanthood. Don't miss it. It's servanthood. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters. We are his stewards. Hope you hear me. We are his servants. His stewards. We are his stewards. His servants. And as stewards and servants. You know, it is lack of proper study that makes people get unnecessarily, say, I'm a son, I'm no longer a servant. No, you are. Do you understand me? God calls himself angel when he carries the duty of bringing the gospel. Do you see that? Amen. A servant is one who does the service. And that's what we are. Open your eyes with me. Amen. Every time you hear you are a son, you are not a servant. Just smile. Don't argue, smile. Because you are a son servant. Amen. Glory to God. So that makes us a steward. We are stewards. Hallelujah. We are his stewards. We are his stewards. Hallelujah. We are his stewards. So, as a steward, what is expected of me? The question will begin to answer. 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Hope you ask. This guy really had enough data. Okay, it's back. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Hallelujah. It says, moreover, out of verse 1, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ. Did you see that? Ministers of Christ. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, yeah, I'm a minister. I remember one time that we were looking for years back, when we were looking for what? So, I attend, when I mean what? There are to have meetings like pastors' meetings or CRC. between, when we started CRC, we started it between friends. Pastor's friends. My friends, years back, 2005. So we'll gather and then we'll be exalting ourselves. Exalting ourselves. So, you know, as this man is preaching, you need to look for that one word. That's what we do. We look for that one word that will just pia, and we'll just rah! So we always know how to get to that point at the end of our teaching. Yeah. I see it. So we don't look like we are not a look alike. I see it. Direct straight copy. So I remember one time that we're not teaching, someone else said we are ministers of the Lord. We are ministers of the Lord. You just know that when he said the last time, something wants to come. It's going to be a bombshell. He said, you know, when you use the word ministers, meaning, you look at the word mini, small stars, but we have a major star. Say, God is major star, we are ministers. And I said, yes, sir. What? Took me what? And God is major star. We are mini. God is major. Come on, stop that. Yeah. When they are choking you, what? It's Lord that will be coming out. The minister and major star. No. Amen. We are his ministers. Hallelujah. We are his servants. And what he said in verses 2 is that, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Did you see that? Every steward must be faithful. Must be faithful. Because what God rewards is not the amount of A's you got in your exam. What God is going to reward is your stewardship, your faithfulness. God is going to reward your faithfulness. Open your eyes to me. What God is going to reward is your faithfulness, not the amount of cars you have. Not the kind of job you picked. Not how many children you gave birth to. Whether you got married or not. What God is going to reward is your faithfulness. You see, many a times I think believers get to forget this. And they carry on unnecessary things. They begin to lose focus. Begin to lose direction. What God is going to reward is your faithfulness. Take it to the bank. Look at Matthew quickly, chapter 25. Matthew 25. Verses 21. This is the story of the talents. You know, some people have read talent to be music talent. No, that's not what he's talking about here. Amen. The essence of this parable is concerning faithfulness. How about you, Henry? Not that talent like football talent, no. It's faithfulness. Hope you're following me. Faithfulness. And the Lord said to him, the one that he gave 5 talents, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Did you see that?
Look at 23. And Lot said to him, well done, good and faithful. This is what matters. Faithful. Faithfulness. Hope you're hearing me. He must be found faithful. God doesn't reward faithfulness in the past. I used to be faithful. No. Hope you're hearing me. Is he that is faithful to the end? Revelation 2. He that is faithful to the end. Not that I was faithful last year, Lord, but my job. No. It will be a wasted faithfulness if your faithfulness was in the past. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. We're going to look at some of that shortly. God doesn't reward faithfulness in the past. He doesn't. Jesus will say, I'm coming. If your faithfulness to God is not present, it's nothing. Now Jesus will say, he that sets his hand on the plow and looks back, he said the same is not fit. Looks back there means you have started and then you turn back. You allow the issues of life to take your minds away. See, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit. You're not fit. Hope you're ready. Amen. So God doesn't... Okay, what God rewards, like I said to us, is our faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to the ministry. Faithfulness to consecration. Faithfulness to his purpose. So what matters at the end of it is your faithfulness. So that means, if what matters at the end is faithfulness, that means what should matter to me now should be what matters at the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the things that matter at the end be what matters to you now. Mm-hmm. Faithfulness is what matters at the end. So are you faithful? When you stand in the audience of one, the Lord himself, enough, will he say to you, my faithful servants. Your faithfulness is not when there is a crowd there. No. When there is a crowd there, it should be a reflection of your personal consecration. Your consecration to God
It's not where people are. It's personal. How faithful are you? How faithful are you to pray for your disciples? How faithful are you in the ministry? Are you now a worker in church and you think evangelism is for new members? How faithful are you? Turn it to prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray. Say, Lord, let the things that matter to me at the end be what matters to my life now. Let this be the priority of my life. Turn it to prayer. Let's pray. Say, Lord, let what matters at the end matter now to my life. Let it matter. Lord, my faithfulness. Let it matter now. You're not praying. You're not praying. You're not praying. Hello? Faithfulness. Amen. So God wants you faithful. God wants you faithful. God wants you faithful. God wants you faithful. Faithful to his purpose. And you know what? Satan comes for your faithfulness. Satan always wants to make you unfaithful. Because Satan always comes for God's tax. Satan always comes after God's word. He always comes after God's word. Satan always comes after God's word. In Genesis 3, you find Satan coming for God's word. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, thou shalt eat of every tree of the garden. He's coming for God's word. Did you see that? God has given that instruction in chapter 2. Satan came for the word. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with it. In Matthew 4, we were in Genesis, not in GPLR, so, but we didn't get to Matthew. So let's get to Matthew quick. Matthew 4:1. I will start from chapter 3 verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, what did God say in chapter 3 verse 17? My beloved son. Said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He comes for God's word. Did you see that? If that be the Son of God. So that's Satan for you. He comes for your faithfulness. Did you see that? He was hungry. And you know Jesus could have done that, right? Hope you know that. He's God. Right? He's God. He's God's son. Right? Satan knows that he can work miracles, signs and wonders. Satan knows. So when I turned water to wine, can't he turn stone to bread? Would he? He can. But Satan will come for God's word. As well as a believer, you must always be discerning. Okay, following me? You must always be discerning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So Satan comes to distract. He comes to distract. To make you doubt God's word. He comes with questions. Rhetorics. Questions. That brings doubts. Or makes you begin to reason. Reason God's word that you should ordinarily have accepted with your heart. You know, most times, what you do to God's word is to receive it to your heart. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said in one of his books, Mountain Moving Faith. He said, when Satan catches you in the arena of your senses, he will deal with you. Always take the devil to the arena of faith. What are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So he will deal with you in the arena of your senses. Hallelujah. He will ask you questions. Has God said you should not eat? Did you hear that? Very subtle. In the Bible, that way, if you look at Genesis 3, Moses gave functionality to it. He said that the serpent was more subtle. Eve, when she was forgiven, said the serpent deceived me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was calling cunning, beguiled. As the serpent beguiled Eve. 2 Corinthians 11:2, Whoever know me, beguiled, cunning. Hallelujah. And Paul says, 2 Corinthians 2:11, that we should not be ignorant of his modus operandi, his mode of operation. So one thing a believer should arm himself with is the modus operandi of the adversary, how he works. Satan has not changed his ways. Amen. Are you following me? He always comes to bring doubt to God's call in your life. And you do it many times by misquoting scriptures. That's why the best, I've always taught you, any scripture you don't know in context, don't quote it. What about your enemy? Don't reason it. It's not. Once you don't know it in context, don't. Because Satan will always quote scriptures out of context. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 6, he told Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands he shall bear thee up, lest at any time dash thou shalt have foot against the stone. And Jesus said, tempt not the Lord thy God. What it means, tempt not the Lord thy God, it means do not pressure God to do what God doesn't do. And you say, what Satan has done here was to misquote the psalmist, Psalm 91. Did you see that? And Jesus took him back to Deuteronomy. That before you quote the psalmist, look at the Deuteronomy. Did you see that? You have to read scriptures well. Took him to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Amen. Shall tempt not the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 16. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. In verses 8 into 9, look at what he said to Jesus. Again, the devil took him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What is that?
it gives you an easy way out. Amen. Satan gives you an easy way out. Easy way. Don't worry, you don't need to do evangelism anymore. Just start doing Facebook Live. Easy way out. So look at your fine voice. It's not everybody that God called to preach. He gave some people song ministry. But they can win souls. Nonsense. You don't win souls by songs. Amen? You don't win souls by singing songs. Has he got into this conversation with someone that was close to me, that is into song? He said he's music ministers. First of all, I don't know where they got that from. They not, they say, how do they call it? Gospel what? Amen. Eh? See, we are evangelists. I told us last week Thursday, right? I said the role, I mean last Sunday rather, I said the role of the music team or songs in the church is for believers. There's no way where you should sing song for an unbeliever to get saved. But what if you sing song and somebody gets healed and the person gives his life to Christ? Number one, that is fundamentally wrong. You don't give your life to Christ. But say, understand what you are saying. You can't translate faith for miracles as faith for salvation. No, you can't. Amen. So the same people that said Jesus, that Jesus healed, that said crucify him. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. They're not the same. They're not the same. So the role of songs in Colossians, in Ephesians, it said singing to yourselves. So the role of the songs is we'll minister to one another. We'll serve the Lord. Amen. We minister one to another. It's service to the Lord. Just some days back, somebody was asking me, what is my take about this gospel ministers, whatever. I said, I have nothing to say. So why? Are you not going to lend your voice? I said, my voice has been there for years. So I don't function, I don't flow with the wind. Because it's a wave, I will not join them. Because it's a wave, I will not join them. No, I don't join waves. Amen. Amen. I could say it categorically. Before some of what you are hearing today, you are hearing it. I've always said it to you guys. In fact, I've called some of those people that are called so-called music artists to warn them. Amen. So, I'm not lending voice now. No, no. Lending voice to what? None of my members are doing it. Anyone that is for me, that is going out to do it, has left us. It's just very simple. I hope you know. You should know those things that your church does. Amen. We minister one to another. Hope you're hearing me. We minister what? One to another. In songs, in psalms, and in spiritual songs. Do you get me? Spiritual songs. Amen. So Satan will always give you an easy way out. Record label. We will promote you. Somebody told me years back, he said, before people started thinking of online church, before there was no online church. And I know it, those idea of online church came from motivation speakers. When a pastor goes to sit on a motivational speaker, so that you know how to move ministry. You're not listening to the Holy Ghost, you're listening to a motivational speaker. They will motivate you out of God's way. Iraq told me, yes, Mark. He said, can't you see? No building can house 5 million. But you have more than 5 million people on the internet. He said, can't you take ministry to the internet? I said, no, sir. No, man. I didn't learn it that way. Hallelujah. You must know how God leads you. You must know the things you did not learn from the Lord. You must be able to discern. This is not, this can be of God. Satan will always give you an easy way out. Be careful of easy way out. Easy way out. Easy way out. You're no longer reading your Bible. You now have audio Bible. Audio Bible. Easy way out. Satan will always give you an easy way out. Satan will always do that. Give you an easy way out. Don't worry, I'll give you the whole nation. Amen. Somebody is connected. Amen. Ah. Okay, over here. It should be Jenny Kaduna. Amen. An easy way out, but never settle for it. Hallelujah. Never settle for it. It comes with promises of the world. And what is his main aim? Luke 22 verses 31. Jesus to Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. You see that? He may sift you as wheat. Distraction. Distractions to God tax. And I said many times that distraction can be legitimate. Very legitimate. Very legitimate. It makes sense. You want to write an exam. Because of the exam, you don't think you can continue preaching the gospel till after the exam. How many years is the exam? 4 years. After 4 years. Or after 6 years, you don't come back. I want to do, I will do ministry after the exam. No. Something can be very legitimate. Most of the time, I'll be a job. Legitimate. Hallelujah. Satan always offers an easy way out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But to you, never allow anything affect your concentration, your devotion to the word. See, rather let them go than lose your concentration. Allow them go. Stay faithful to God's men. Stay faithful to the sheep. Stay faithful to the tax. Some of us, our problem is we cannot mind your business. You are in operation department. You are getting concerned with you are in operations operation, you don't mind your own. You will put in your eye. In Pastor Dixon's own department. What's that in department again? Media. You don't mind your business. Stay focused. See, when a tax has been given to you, do your tax. Open your enemy. You are under a PCU, a pastoral care unit. You are supposed to stay and mind your pastoral care unit. Don't start looking for what other pastors are doing in their own unit. Mind your business. Some people, all they need in life is just to mind their assignment. You have your disciples you should be following up with. You left your own disciples. You are putting your eye on what somebody else's disciple is not doing. How is that your business call? How is that your business die? You are in your job branch. But you know everything that is happening in Dr. Mu. I still tell you. Mind your business. Some people, all they need in life is just to mind their work and it will grow. I love what Pastor Shegu said. Say, if you mind your work, anything you give your attention to will grow. Anything. So I'm telling us this evening, give your attention to your disciples. Pastors. A disciple that's not under your own purview. That's not under your church. Please, if you have any issue, report to the person's pastor. You are pastoring your own pastor in another person's will. Mind your business. Amen? We need to know what is the divider. Mind your business. Remember, mind your business. Mind your pastor. If you stay with your pastor, you will not be confused. Some people, they have pastors. The reason for their, the reason their major problem in life. I have 10 fathers. Only you, 10 fathers. This one daddy. This one daddy. This one daddy. Daddy all over the body of Christ. Mind your pastor. Then you can grow. Follow, looking for word. You have no word. You just be heaping confusion in your head. Mind your pastor. Mind your church. Mind your church. Don't be looking out for what is happening in another person's church. Is he your own? Mind your own church. Hope you're hearing me. Stay your day. Day your day. Faraforu, no growth. Some people, the reason why they've not grown their church, they've not grown their membership, they've not grown their disciples, is because they are not even stable with their pastor. We'll see you here. You are following everybody in the body of Christ. If you open your Facebook wall, we'll see all the apostles in the body of Christ and you read everything. How would your life be unstable? I told you, Satan is subtle in his deceit. Very subtle. A young guy chatted me up from Kaduna. Not Kaduna branch now, from Kaduna. And he told me, we were talking, I discovered that the guy was always talking. Today he will be on point, tomorrow he will go on point. As if he was not the person that spoke yesterday. And I asked him, who is your pastor? He said, you want to show me, he's a worded man. I said, no sir, I have like 9. I said, you have 9 pastors? He said, yes sir. Then I knew that was the beginning of his failure. He started calling their names. And the 9 of them don't preach the same thing. 9! that you know all the pastors in the body of Christ. And either you will be sending them messages, you are my father in the Lord. You send 10 people, you are my father in the Lord. Look at your lives now. Was that not what Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth? Their confusion was from the fact that one said I'm for Paul, another one said I'm for Apollos, another one said I'm for Cephas, Peter. You cannot have different fathers in the Lord. Permit me to use that word. You cannot have different pastors. You only have one pastor. Shall you hear me? You can only have one pastor. The guy was not mentioning the nine. At the end, he now added my name. I say, remove my name. I told him, remove my name. Say, for what? I say, remove it. Say, no, sir. He's not. I say, don't add my name. I don't want to father, if that word is called, I don't want to father or pastor anybody like you. I can be very blunt. At some point, I blocked him off my social media. When people don't have direction, don't aid them to be misdirected. Hope you're hearing me. God has given you a pastor. He has given you a local church. Stay committed there. Hope you're hearing me. Stay committed there and grow there. When you have disciples you are following up on, put your eyes on them. They are the only ones you have. Follow them up. Well, hope you're hearing me. Be careful of distractions. Be careful of distractions. Be careful of distractions. Be careful of the praises of men. Be careful. Be careful of the praises of men. Men will come to praise you. They will come to psych you. Nobody has this wisdom in this world. You are the first of your kind. Men will come to praise you. You are an elder in the spirit. Men will come to praise you. I see you with gray hair. All of a sudden you begin to call yourself Papa. When you are just 21, Papa. Where are you going to? Where are you going to? What are you building? I said to Ross as I close, during GPL, I said to Ross, there's one thing that should determine your life. There's one thing that should determine the kind, the next step you take in life. There's one thing that should determine the kind of job you pick, the kind of place you live. There's one thing that should determine it. The kind of choices that you make. And that is the gospel. The gospel determines a man's life. Hope you're hearing me. Bola. Look at me. What's up? The gospel determines a man's life. It determines the next step you take. The next things you do. It determines who you get married to. You know, what the world wants is not what the believer should want. We are young, so I'm talking to us. Sisters, be careful of the six packs you are looking for. Because you can get the six packs and not get God's will. Hope you're hearing me. Imagine how a Christian sister saying, I wish I could get married to a whiskey Christian. You know that she has not just missed it. She's lost already. Christian brother wants to marry Lady Gaga. You will gaga your life away. Mind your appetite. Mind your appetite. An appetite comes from what you give your time to. It comes from what you watch. You begin to crave unnecessary things. Today, nobody wants to say, I want a Davido. Mind your appetite. Hope you're hearing me. Mind your appetite. Mind your appetite, oh. The better for us. Wow. Amen. Amen. Mind your appetite. Mind what you watch, what you listen to. Hope you're hearing me. What you give yourself to, what you give your time to, always you will crave for it. What you give your time to always, that is what you will crave for. Mind what you give your time to. Mind it too. And it's a serious one. It's a serious one. It flows into your relationships. I say this 70% of the time. I heard this on Pastor Shelley. Your relationship will determine whether you will keep God's will. The kind of friends you keep. The kind of people you chat with. What you chat about. What you talk about. People, a believer who keeps a bad company will turn out bad. Will turn out bad. You will lose your focus. I say this and I say it again. I know some people say heaven is the focus. Heaven is the goal. You know, we cannot tell you, I cannot tell you heaven is the goal. Because heaven actually is not the goal. We are already in heaven. I'm talking to my church members. Amen. We are in heaven. We have come to Mount Zion. We've come to heaven. So what is the goal? The goal is the master stacks in all the earth. The goal is God's stacks in all the earth. The goal is carried out through my local church. So I must mind my local church. I must mind my local church meetings. I must stay faithful there. That is the goal. The goal is not to have 10 cars. The goal is not to build house on Banana Island.
The goal is not to get married to the next governor's daughter or the richest man's wife son. No. The goal is not to have the best job. No. These are your goals for life. Then you have a misplaced priority. You have a misplaced priority. Your number one goal for life is to end up faithful. Is to keep being faithful to the end of days. That is what matters. Just go on your knees and let's pray. Say, Lord, my focus will not shift. You know, just consecrate your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, bow your head. Say, Lord, my focus will not shift. My desire will not shift. If I could have one desire, all make a dream come true, I'll tell my heart to burn with fire, for no one else but you. Could have one desire, or make a wish come true, I would tell my heart to burn with fire, for no one else but you. My one desire. Say, Lord, may I never have any desire that is not for you alone. May my heart never go further for other things that will make me lose my consecration. Say, Lord, it's you alone that I see. It's you alone that I know. Turn into prayer. That at the end, the Lord will not ask me of my faithfulness, and I will say, I used to be faithful. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I gave myself away. I gave myself away. So you can use me. I gave myself away. myself away so you can use me. I gave myself away. I gave myself away so you can use me. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, to save the whole world. That your church may be strong. Use me, Lord, use me, Lord, use me, Lord,
for your city,
to save the whole world, that your church may be strong. Use me, Lord. That's your charge.
Open our feet.
May be strong. Use me, Lord. Set my soul on fire, Lord. Let my soul